Sarah Wardle, thank you for joining me, because I know the last time you were on, a lot of people were interested in having you back on for your opinions, especially in the realm of dating and red pill, blue pill. Yes, and suffice to say, you know, you approached me earlier this week with a idea of what we could talk about next, and you had the idea, see where I'm going with that, the ideation on relationships. So what I was doing there, and I thought that was a really good follow-up to the red pill, blue pill content we were talking about, and that I was talking about with Dio earlier this week and at points last week as well. So I guess the first question I'm going to throw out here to you is, when we talk about the ideation of relationships, where does it come from? When you hear ideation of relationships, what are you thinking? Where does that come from?
Instant thought is Disney. Instant. I know, I personally, I grew up with a shit ton of Disney. All the VHSs. We had a big bookshelf, not full of books, but of VHS. Yeah, VHSs. That's how you say it.
VHS, yes, VHS.
VHS, all of them. Little Mermaid, Cinderella, Snow White. Oh, what is Beauty and the Beast, which is a completely different relationship.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yep. Media in general, Disney's my first one because it hits really close to home to me, but media, music, just Thor. I told you I was gonna bring that one in.
Okay, so let's get the Thor thing out of the way. For those watching and listening, she hates the movie Thor, the first Thor movie. She despises it with a passion. And to be frank, I know exactly why you hate it, and I'm not fond of it either for different reasons. But your main crux of Thor, or as I call it, Boar, part one, revolves around Jane Foster, the character. Yes. Jane Foster. So yes, please let the audience know, why do you hate Jane Foster's character?
Okay, Jane Foster is supposed to be brilliant. She is supposed to be this brilliant scientist in the movie, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And they do not show her brains off at all. They completely just show her gawking over Thor the entire time. Like, it's stupid. Like, if she's all about her science and everything, and then comes Thor, and it's like all of her science goes out the window, literally, because they take it, but because
her life work essentially goes out the window, and thusly they just stole all her life's work. So go figure.
They stole it all, but like when she gets it back, it's just like she doesn't really do much with it at all, and it's all about Thor, and she throws it all away for a dude.
Poor dude.
So a dude who is not in that movie, but is attractive, but that's my main problem with it, is she had so much worth and value and brought so much to the table with her own science and knowledge, and it just seems to all go out the window when a pretty boy walks in. So that,
even if he happens to be 6'4" with rippling muscles and blonde hair.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay. It's not how life works.
Anyway. I had hopes for Jane Foster's character, because in the comics and inevitably in the MCU, she does become Thor in the next movie, Love and Thunder. But in the comics, she's an EMT, so she's brave at the very least. She's worthy, or else she wouldn't be considered Thor. But it's even an insult to Natalie Portman as an actress, personally, to have her play this damsel in distress, and I hate it.
I have issues with a damsel in distress kind of thing. I didn't growing up. That was all Disney movies and Disney princesses. I mean, today I watched with my son Aladdin. And Jasmine is probably the least damsel in distress of the older princesses from the 80s, 90s. Some of Disney's newer princesses, I like them. Moana is one of my favorites, but
I also watched that today. But it's this man comes in and all your worth and value. I'm not hating men. I see value in men. My issue is when women lose their value, they let it go because of a man. Not that a man is taking it or anything, or it's just they let it go. And I can say that because I did that. So it strikes a nerve within me because I see it and I'm like, this is not okay. This is not healthy. You're losing your worth. And then when I lost my worth. I mean, that's part of my story. I lost my worth and then I found it again. So yeah, that's my issue with Thor. And I wanted to slap Jane Foster throughout the entire movie. I literally was gagging while watching it.
Just an FYI, part two doesn't get any better for her.
I really wish I've been back and forth if I was going to watch it. It's sitting there lined up, queued up to watch, and I have to be mentally prepared for it. I'm not there yet.
Well, considering that Marvel's a Disney property at this point, so we're talking about Disney movies. You mentioned Aladdin, you mentioned Beauty and the Beast off air, which we all know is Stockholm Syndrome.
I'll mention it on air. I think we did, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we mentioned it on air too. The Stockholm Syndrome, Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. And that's another weird vibe whenever I think about it. And, you know, Dio makes the joke about it being bestiality because he's a beast. And, like, so how is she going to, you know, with the beast if he didn't turn into a prince? But anyway, I digress. And then there's Prince Eric, who Ariel's throwing away her entire existence in the sea, and you know she to live with the surface dweller. And then we talk about Snow White essentially friend zoning 7 little dudes, you know. So she can marry into a hypergamous relationship with Prince Charming.
She wanted rescue from her stepmommy, and that she saw a way out with the man.
I thought that was Cinderella.
It was also Snow White. Snow White's dad.
I've never seen Snow White, so I don't know.
What? It's terrible. But
why would I watch it?
Why not? Because
it's terrible.
It's a classic. I watched Thor and it's terrible. Anyways. Listen, we could go on Beauty and the Beast too real quick. More than just Stockholm Syndrome, because I see people and women do this in relationships, where they get into a relationship thinking they can change the man and make him a better person, and it doesn't work.
Change him.
Change him. My love and beauty for him can just, I don't know, change him, and he'll become a better person. And no.
Lauren
no.
High, Sarah.
Hey, Lauren. Yeah. No. Don't. No. No, like I love Disney and I grew up on these movies and I love them, and now I'm seeing them and I'm like, oh, I wonder where all these issues came from. All these ideals of how a relationship should be. Mm-hmm. Every little girl wants to be a Disney princess. My daughter wants to be all the time, Elena and Moana, which I am okay with because there is no man involved in that one. But yeah, every little girl wants to be a Disney princess and live that princess life. And
that's a broad statement. I don't think every little girl wants.
Not
to be
every little girl.
Princess.
That was look. I did a blanket
Freudian
statement.
Slip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Crap. Shoot.
What's in your cup, Sarah?
It is. I had this at Free Play the other night, so I had to go buy some. It's got seltzer water, so there's that. It's also Deep Eddie's.
Nice.
Lemon.
Shout out to Free Play Arcade.
Yes, you know, we love them dearly.
We love them dearly. If you're in the Dallas area, please visit Free Play Richardson Monday through, well, basically every single day, 7 days a week. But visit the other locations also in Denton, Fort Worth,
Arlington.
And Arlington open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yes, please go visit. Love arcades. Sarah and I actually discovered a game the other day. Was it Bashi Body?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I have no idea what the name was, but I had a dream about that the other day. It was a wild game. I don't know. It was fun.
It's a Konami rhythm. It's a mini rhythm game, you know, mini game from Konami, Bashi Body or something like that. And my God, it's addictive. My God.
It is entertaining, to say the least.
And for my gamer friends, we talk about the term Engrish in a lot of translations in video games, and that game is, yes, thank you, Lauren, Bishi Bashi. That's what it's called.
We were nowhere close.
Yeah. Worse. Could have called it some worse. But the Engrish is horrible, and it is very satirized, is the word I'm going to use. From Japanese game show perspective. Yes. Anyway, I digress. So shout out to Free Play. Please, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, go visit all their locations on the weekends. And if you want to go Monday through Friday, feel free to go to Free Play Richardson, and you'll probably see us there, as well as Lauren and everybody else, Chris Delp and Carlos B, both Carlos B's. You know, Michael B, I should say, and Carlos. Yeah, so... Yeah, and I just want to just put it out there that I am grateful because I can have these conversations and not get yelled at in the group chat. So thank you all for allowing me to voice these opinions on relationships, because years ago I would have been judged exponentially. That's a pain in the ass. But I digress. So we talked about unrealistic expectations in relationships. And I think right there, the word... expectations, the problem.
It's not even unrealistic.
It's expectation.
Yes.
We are expecting people to behave a certain way. And when they don't behave a certain way in relationships, we throw a tantrum or we get mad, and then we get frustrated. And thusly, we start arguments. And yes, Lauren, it's the best arcade in the Metroplex. You heard it there first. But
yes,
that's how I view relationships. And I've read a lot of books the last year on psychology of relationships, and I am by no means a dating expert, but the term expectation, or they should act this way, they should just know, it's a death blow to a lot of just a lot of
red
light.
Pill. It is, yes it is red pill. There is yes the face.
Go ahead.
Expectations are, that's it. They're unrealistic, honestly, because here's the thing. Every single person, we unknowingly have these expectations, of people. They're put into us from childhood, from parents, from media and Disney, and we have these expectations of how a relationship should be, and what else did we talk about? The people we surround ourselves with, I think, they influence a whole lot of how we believe a man should treat us or a woman should treat us. Or I read something today that I screenshotted, almost sent to you, and they were yelling at this this guy. He was sitting in the car while the woman pumped the gas, and they were just disgusted by it.
I've seen that video. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a video. It was a picture. They took a picture, and they're like, if I see one more man not pumping this woman's gas and not paying for it, I'm like, excuse me? I can pump my own gas, and I can pay for my own gas. Like, that's not your relationship. That's not your relationship. Don't have an opinion on it. Everybody's different. Everyone goes into a relationship expecting things, which can be detrimental. Unless they are voiced and communicated, like, hey, your expectations are not gonna, it's not gonna happen. They're gonna fail, and you're gonna be hurt. And one of the safest ways for you and your partner to be okay is to either one, voice your expectations, or two, don't have them. Like, if they do something, you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Like, then it opens the door for communication rather than a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
being open-minded in relationships is very, very important. And I am no, let me be clear, I am no dating expert at all. I just observe a lot of people and relationships, and I avoid dating because I see all of the craziness. It's just, it's a mess.
Well, and I send you copious amounts of YouTube dating videos to the point where you probably want to slug me at some point.
I want to slug a lot of people in those videos. I don't want to slug you for some reason, because it's not you. I can compartmentalize things, but there's so much. We watched one the other day that we both just, I like got up and walked away because it was ridiculous.
I don't recall.
Huh?
Which one was it?
It was the speed dating one.
Oh, that's right. It was the Jubilee that she goes out with. She's text dating about 20 dudes. And off 3 or 4 question qualifiers, she eliminated all the guys.
Had nothing to do with
relationship values.
No. And what killed me at the end, it was all physical stuff. Height, age, was it bedroom stuff?
Club stuff. Yeah, you gotta go to the club.
You gotta be okay that I'm okay with going with the clubs and partying. Like, and then one guy just walked out because he wasn't attracted to her. That's simple as that. And at the end, she said, and it made me just want to pull my hair out. She was like, these are the standards that I have, and I'm just not willing to let go of them. And I was like, that's your standards? That right there, all physical is your standards. And she was complaining about, gosh, I sound so red pill. She was she was complaining about not dating me right. She kept dating these horrible men that treated her poorly. But literally all she cared about was physical stuff. If you're going to...
So at the end of the video, or that part of the video, the last guy leaves and says, you're going to be single for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she got offended. She got offended by that. She said, rude.
Yeah.
You're going to be single for a while, sweetheart. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. I would have probably said the same thing. Because it's just that if that's your standards, like, I know some women have like a height standard.
6 feet tall, right? That's the height standard.
Yeah.
The guy's got to be 6 feet tall.
Oh, did I make a face? Yes, I did.
You did.
I'm not very tall, so it's hard for me to come from that being, I'm not very tall. Everybody's taller than me when it comes to guys, like, truly. So I can't get in the shoes and be like, oh, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. But if you like the person, if you are like vibing with them and they're fantastic people, is that your one hang up? Really? That's
their hang up.
Disney and all these big tall men that come rescue the tiny little princess. Yeah.
You sound some type of way right now, Sarah. Could it be that all the dating myths that you were raised to believe have now shattered and no longer register with you?
Listen, they shattered long before I met you, honestly. And then they just shattered more since all these videos. And that's been my hardest thing. I literally, when I watch these, I'm like, really? People are this way? Are they really this way? Women are this way? And it's hard because I don't surround... I'm a very guarded person. I don't let a whole lot of people close to me or around me. So it was just wild to me that people are this way. Oh my goodness. So,
yeah. You brought up another interesting point off air, and we can broach that now on the Damon G Show, anchor.fm, YouTube, streaming currently on Facebook, YouTube, as well as Twitch. But you brought up when people meet other people, for instance, attraction, connection. And thusly, when you have that initial connection or attraction to somebody, you immediately jump to the idealized version of that person. Mm-hmm. And it's not rooted in reality. We get swept up in the what could be, but we're not in the now, in the what it is.
Yep.
I can meet someone tomorrow and be head over heels, but I will gladly be rooted in reality and say, you know, the whole I was in love at first sight. No, you weren't.
No. No, you weren't. Listen.
No, you weren't.
It's not a thing.
That isn't a thing.
It's not. It is attraction at first sight. Like, yes. You can be overwhelmed, your hormones wild, attracted to someone, and then get to know them, and then love
them.
Develops.
Love them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then, yes. Then that's, it's not love at first sight. That's not a real thing. It is attraction always at first sight. Hopefully not always. I wasn't attracted to my ex-husband when I first met him. But when that happens, it's attraction at first sight and then love always.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you, there can be someone so physically attractive and you're like, oh my God. And then you get to know them, or they, well, at least for me, I get to know them and they, or they open their mouth and it's instant. Nope. No, that's not love at first sight. That is just attraction and hormones.
Yeah. Hormones, so, lust, attraction.
Yes. So the problem is because we have this, a lot of people feel like they have to be in this idolized relationship that they've created in their head, that they've created, I need this. This is the only way. I hate this because this was me. Only way I can be valuable as a woman. Now, this is me as a woman I went to therapy this morning. I dealt with this issue this morning, so it's fresh. I had this ideal that I was not worthy enough as a woman. I wasn't a good woman if I couldn't get a man, which makes me sick to my stomach to think about, which is why I rushed into marriage at such a young age. I got married before I could legally drink. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's all.
Don't
I
do
can
it,
say
kid.
About that.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And I, because I wanted to feel that I was of some value, that I was worthy, and that I was a woman, because I was told I wasn't a good enough woman for so long, which is stupid. That's it.
Yeah.
There is no scale saying this is what, there's no checklist of this is what makes you a good woman, this one is what doesn't. No, that's, you are a woman and that is up to you and discovering your worth and your value in yourself. No one else gets to determine that. I digress. So as you see a person, you're attracted to them, and then you start thinking, okay, I could see myself with them, and you start making something in your head that's not actually there. You're like, I can be their wife. We can build this life together. Like, oh, we could both be doing, I don't know, if you're both into cricket. I don't fucking know. Cricket. And we could just be cricket partners. I don't know how to play cricket. I don't know where it came from. Don't ask.
Where the heck did you pull that one from? We can play cricket.
I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway. I get what you're trying to say. I get what you mean. And I can self-disclose here. For a long time, you know, growing up as the ugly duckling, I promised myself that I would get a girlfriend, right? Like, oh yeah, my life will only be vindicated and justified if I can attract the woman. Because for so long, I viewed myself as the ugly duckling. And man, if I can go back and hug young me and say, dude, it's all right. It is all right. This is not the way. Let me talk to you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, that's the funny thing, is that a lot of us get rooted in these old school way of thinking passed down from grandma, grandpa, dad, and mom, you know, great grandma, great grandpa, who pumped out 22 kids because they ain't had nothing better to do than just, you know, get it on, because read a book, people. But personally, growing up in my household, and I've told you this, I've mentioned it on the air, my parents don't love each other. Please, please. And I will tell my parents to their face, no. But yet here they are still together because they are useless without each other, to be quite honest.
Codependency. And that,
what was that?
Codependency.
Codependency. Finest. And that's scary, man. Yeah. In relationships. When you get to that point of just, you know, I can't live without them when you're married and then they pass away and then thusly the other person passes away. But in breakups, you see this a lot in breakups, I can't live without this person. You are literally giving away all your power to this person that broke up with you by saying something like that, by believing something like that.
Yeah.
And I know a whole bunch of clients that I work with that have that. And fun fact, everybody, a lot of the life coaching clients I've had recently are people in relationship issues. Now, I don't know when I became the Puerto Rican Dr. Phil of relationships, but apparently that is something I work with people on recently. And I still don't get it. I still don't understand the putting your value in another human being and not in yourself first. I know relationships are about compromise and love is a choice. And I have learned that lesson over the last couple of years, you know, after my marriage ended. So I get it. But overall, this whole It's a Wonderful Life, if y'all have seen that movie where the girl next door tells the boy she's going to marry him when he's 7. Really? 7? And then him saying...
movie. Oh, no. Shoot.
Wait. And then him saying, I'm going to rope you the moon and... Come on, bro.
Buffalo girl, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Won't you? Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's my all-time favorite Christmas movie, and now it's been ruined.
Ruined, I say.
Ruined. There are some great things about that movie, by the way. Minus
but again,
the relationship.
It's the period piece. It's a time piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary. It is really scary, and I've seen this happen, where someone puts their value in the relationship so much that when it ends, they want to end their life, and it's heartbreaking. It really is scary. So, guys, listen, if you were in that position, thinking your significant other is all you have going for you, there's so much, like, this is my passion right here. There's so much more for you. There's so much more worth for you. There's just so much more. Yes, your partner can be fantastic and wonderful and great. Like, hold on to that. Find your value within yourself, not that person. It's scary because life hits you out of nowhere. It hits you out of nowhere and you never know what can happen. And then what?
Then what?
Mm-hmm.
You're left to fend for yourself and you don't know what to do. Look, I'll be the first to admit, when my marriage ended and I moved to Dallas, you know, it was the first time in over a decade your boy was literally on his own. So there was a lot of learning to the single life. And I'm not talking about going out and partying, whatever. I'm talking about just the day-to-day of fending for yourself when you don't have that release valve. You don't have that secondary person, you know, to balance you out. Whereas my parents can't do it. I have been able to do it. And I find it very, I want to say, I find it refreshing that there's a lot more people. There's a lot of people that are doing it this way, where they're starting over, especially divorcees. They're starting over and they are empowering themselves to just keep it moving. And you and I work with clients like that all the time, where they're the number one thing we work with them on is building themselves from the ground up when they have nothing left or think they have nothing left. And for me, that is money well spent from my clients to me when I have to do those kinds of action plans with them and kind of motivate them to move forward, so to speak.
It's hard. I mean, I was there. I mean, you and I are both divorcees. Like, It's
hashtag team divorce balling.
Not sure if we should be proud of that or not, but we'll make t-shirts. Yeah, it's we idolize a lot. I mean, it's so much of it is movies and how we grow up, and goodness, we could go like a completely different way about like rap music, even how it's shaped, how a lot of that a lot of the rap culture
I can speak to that true
changed how women should be and how men should be to their women, and
don't get me started on Boys to Men singing in the rain on one knee, talk about on bended knee. Stop that. No. Stop that simp nonsense.
Oh, Simpa. Yeah, it's this is my main thing. Find out before you dive in, and we've talked about this last time. Find out who you are, be secure in it before you get in any relationship. I read this today too, is when it should be two very independent, secure people coming together and helping each other grow every single day. That's what a relationship should be. It shouldn't be this codependency. I can't live without you.
I'm going to call you out on something real quick, by the way.
Go ahead.
Should.
Oh, shoot. What did I say?
That's how it should be. At the beginning of this podcast, we literally said the word should.
Yeah.
In terms of relationships. Hope. Hope is a better word. Hope.
Hope. No expectations. I feel like it is a healthy option. If you're both secure in yourself. this is how I personally want a relationship. Everyone's relationship is going to be different. Everyone. You got to know who you are and what you bring. You bring to the table, because otherwise it's crazy how many toxic relationships are out there. It's like legitimately crazy how many times I'm talking to people, I'm like, that is, you're
it's
okay.
Not normal, dude.
Yeah, like that's not, no. And I try to approach it nicer than my face usually tells way more than my words do. It's scary. It's scary because people, I feel like a long time ago, people knew their purpose, and their worth and their value because it was needed for survival. It was needed for my purpose to go work the farm and bring food to my family, is to make, I don't know. Well, everyone had their job and their purpose and what they were doing and running a store. It was necessary for survival. And so much is handed to us. It's just so easy. If you want a new iPhone, you could go in debt and get one tomorrow if you wanted to. Like, it's that simple. You expect things like this. You can swipe left, swipe right, go hook up with someone tonight. Like, it's that quick and easy. And, it's empty.
That's a good word. Empty.
It's empty. Mm-hmm. There's no.
It means nothing.
Means nothing. And so many people are feeling so empty. And that's why depression is so high and on the rise, because where's our value and where's our worth? We don't have that. What else do we have?
So speaking of value and worth, we'll do one more topic before we call it a night. And I want to say, I brought this up before the show, the word hypergamy, which essentially is defined in layman's terms as marrying up in status. So I'm going to ask you first, because I got my own two cents on that.
Yes.
When I say the word hypergamy and I tell you the definition, your thoughts are what?
So there's like mixed thoughts. So because of lots of movies where
Disney.
Some rich prince comes in and rescues the poor little Cinderella, the poor little, literally there was nothing else about that relationship other than she looked good.
She hit a slipper.
She fit a freaking slipper. She like, anyways, like Cinderella could have, she fended for herself. She brought a lot to the table, but that doesn't show in the relationship in the movie, at least. It was, oh, she's beautiful. We connected, AKA a physical attraction right away. And I just can't live without her. And that's attraction. That's just setting you up for something. Yeah, that's just, no, we already went down that road. And so I feel like a lot of us are looking for a rescuer, someone to help us level up. And I'm not against someone marrying above their class at all. Like, okay, like if you genuinely make a connection and you're attracted and then you grow and...
Which, but see, that's fine. Uh-huh. That's fine. That's I'm talking funny. About what they mean is, the definition is, you're purposely only doing that. That is what you're looking for. You are looking for someone of a higher status or class than you to save you intentionally.
I am very against this. That is how you get put. That is how you get in trouble. That is how you become, like, I talk about this. I need to deal with this issue because I say this all the time. I don't want to be owned. I don't want to be owned in any way, shape, or form. To me, that is how you get owned. Is, oh, no, you owe me because I brought you out of whatever situation.
Pulled you out the slum, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I pulled you out of the slum. I rescued you, and you owe me. Mm-hmm. Women, I don't know why so many of us want to be rescued. I wish we can just rescue ourselves or help each other out. Like, stop tearing each other down, help each other up. And listen, I'm guilty of it. Trust me, I'm guilty of it and I hate it, but stop competing against each other, lift each other up, rescue our own selves, and then you can find a partner. But intentionally looking for, oh goodness, I can't stand it. Someone with more money is ridiculous. I was literally told one time, I think I've told you this story. There was an EMT I was talking to, yes. And I was told, mm-hmm. You cannot date them because they EMTs don't make enough money. And I was mm-hmm. instantly, I guarantee my face said, the fuck you talking about? Like, I just looked at them. I was like, I want to be able to take care of myself. I don't want someone to take care of me. And their response was, no, a man needs to be able to take care of you. It's too hard to do it by yourself. And I was like, well, I'm not scared of hard things. So, and then
okay, so I'm gonna agree with the latter half of that statement of it is harder on by yourself.
It is
a lot more difficult. Yeah. But that's part of the fun is that you do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get left feeling empty because you did it yourself. You put the effort in and you're proud of the journey and the effort you put in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm fiery over here.
It's fine. So I'm going to go off on a small rant here about the marrying up thing. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it growing up because from all accounts, depending on who you talk to, grandma kind of just was like, oh, who's going to be the better suitor for my daughter? And what do you bring to the table financially? And at the time, my mom was, I believe, 15. So thanks. So grandma's perpetrating the, well, my daughter's not allowed to leave the house. And I heard this is a cultural thing in our family or just in the Latin culture, especially the old school mentality that the daughter is not allowed to leave the house until she's married. But I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to say something that might be a little abrasive and I don't care. It seems as if they're pimping out their daughters.
Oh yeah, that's how it sounds.
Good job, grandma. Good job.
I can say that's a cultural thing. Not because, listen, I'm the whitest person on planet Earth. My DNA says so. But I know I did not grow up around just white people. I grew up around a lot of Latin people. I did marry into a Latin family. It's cultural. I know that from experience, which is, I can't say anything because it's not my culture. So, I don't like that about that culture personally.
I don't vibe with it. I have never vibed with it. I don't vibe with it now. Mm-hmm. I know that back in the day, having major age differences was common.
Yep.
15 year age difference, 20 age year age difference, which, but no, just on my end, that's a big no for your boy. For that.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm with you on that. And it's sad too, seeing people, I'm going to segue a little bit on this, but like the trading up, like looking for, mm-hmm. people will do this when they're already in relationships too. That's the thing. They'll be in a relationship, but still looking, trading up.
They're still looking. They got one foot out the door already.
Yeah. It's not okay.
Get the next one in.
It's not okay. Like if you're already like got a foot out the door, just be like, sorry. I'm just not happy. Don't hold someone on the hook. That's again, that's not your value. Prove to yourself that you can be on your own and be okay.
I remember I saw recently a photo of Clark, Superman and Lois Lane, and she's hugging him, and there's a thought bubble above her head saying, I wonder if I could do better. And I laughed because she probably thought she could do better than Superman. I don't know. And again, I know it's a comic book, but there are people that do that, that they're in relationships and they're still looking to trade up. Look, I knew one person who, in the course of a week, they were with their 12-year high school sweetheart. And then a week later, they were dating someone else and engaged to be married because they were a family friend for so long.
Each their own. That's something for their therapist.
Not me. I'm not taking that case.
To deal with. If you're always looking to trade up and you're never satisfied or happy, I feel that you should probably learn to be okay by yourself for a second. Because
for a long good second,
it's like you were just not ever satisfied or happier. And I believe part of being satisfied and happy is being satisfied and happy in who you are. It's like I said, so when that person comes that you're vibing with and you like them and you want them to be a part of your life, then cool. But your value isn't in there, and you're not looking for, what's the next big thing? Like that I feel that that's someone with a value issue when they're always looking to trade up.
Yes.
Yeah. They want more value themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not about that life. I'm just not. I was about that life, not the trading up thing, but the value in my relationship thing, that was me. Codependency, that was me. So that is something I can very much speak on and speak on how it affected my life.
Right.
It's not fun. It's not healthy, and it brings you to such a low point that, like, I'm gonna tell you now, like, find value in yourself. please find worth and value in yourself. Codependency is so, so scary. So, so scary.
So. Personally, I agree with you completely. And we have plenty of clients who you and I talk to about these kinds of ideals and trying to inspire them to get better. I think that's the perfect way for us to end tonight's show, as you take another swig of Deep Eddie's vodka.
I didn't put seltzer with that one.
Atta girl. So, Sarah, where can people find you for wellness coaching?
You know, I need to do more with my social media. I'm on Instagram at Sarah Nikki M, SarahNickiM. I'm on Instagram there, but I'm also on Facebook. I'm Sarah Wardle on Facebook, and I will instantly add you to my fitness group. We're a group of people encouraging each other and posting basically workout selfies, so you don't have to share them with the world, and you can encourage each other and help each other along in your journey. Message me on Instagram. This is hitting me. Instagram and Facebook. Those are my main two. I am on Twitter. I don't know how to use it, so
we're getting there. Teaching how to use it.
Slowly.
Slowly but surely. I want to thank you for again coming on, and this was your topic. This is something you wanted to discuss and you wanted to bring to the table, and I appreciate
Thanks for giving me the platform.